RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Perspective. That's what I'm left thinking after the win over the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, 13-6. Just felt like 10. 13-6. The perspective is this. All right, you beat the Steelers. Yay. All right, you maybe screwed up the top pick in the draft and maybe not getting the quarterback you wanted if you actually wanted one. All kinds of things going on. Good for Kevin, bad for Kevin, who knows? Guy who's going to give us his thoughts on such things joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, brownszone.com, where you can read all of his work. He is Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Scotty!
How are you guys doing?
Leave it to the Browns to make things even more convoluted and fun. You know what I mean?
I do. I do. I don't think the focus, and I know the fans might disagree with me, but I don't think it should be on, you know, hurting your draft position. I just have a hard time focusing on that. I think you try to win the games.
Agreed.
That's what the coaches and players are here to do. I think you can find a quarterback somewhere. It doesn't always have to be in the top five. I get that that's the best place to find one. But the goal should not be show up on a Sunday and lose just so you have a better draft pick.
Don't tell the Raiders, but yes, I agree with you.
Scott, do you think, and I'm trying to figure this out this morning, because when I walked out of the press box yesterday to head downstairs and then to listen to the post game, and then when Miles said it, I was like, he's thinking what I think everyone in Cleveland was thinking, that Pittsburgh changed their offense to make sure that they didn't give up a sack and maybe sacrifice trying to get to the ultimate goal of winning, getting to the playoffs. Is that a Cleveland perspective? Because in Pittsburgh, they're probably saying, you know what, we didn't have any wide receivers, and they're not surprised.
Sure. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. Obviously, they were trying to prevent Miles from wrecking the game. Now, is it because they were so focused on not letting him get the record, or is it just because, you know, if you let Miles Garrett, you know, get to the quarterback, it's bad news for the offense, and your quarterback could get hurt and all those things? That, it's, you know, you have to be in their own heads. You know, Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers said after the game that it's the same plan they used in October in Pittsburgh against Garrett. So they didn't, you know, they said they did not change things to prevent him from getting the sack record. You know, I don't know if I believe him completely. It was obvious that they were focused on stopping Miles for whatever, you know, whatever the ends of that are. I also think part of it is you have a 42-year-old quarterback that doesn't want to get hit, whether it's Miles Garrett or somebody else. So he's getting out of it, the ball out of his hands super quickly. There were some interesting or weird choices that the Steelers made, especially Rodgers, with where he went with the ball in certain situations. I mean, the three plays at the end with Denzel Ward is one thing. But that fourth down, I think it was the third quarter, where they had fourth and short, they lined up like they were going to go for it, and then they called timeout, and they come out and they spread it out instead of being bunched and running it. And he just throws like a deep go ball down the left side, which is so low percentage. It's an incompletion. The Browns take over. And they gave up a field goal try there because they were close enough for a field goal. Just some of the decisions, whether it was Arthur Schmidt, the coordinator, or Aaron Rodgers were making, didn't make sense to me. And I do think part of that was keeping Miles from getting a sack and or keeping Aaron Rodgers from taking hits.
What did you make of Joel Bitonio's comments last week when he talked about Kevin Stefanski? You wrote a great piece about it, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I think that isn't just Joel Bitonio's opinion. I think there's more people inside that building, inside that locker room, that believe Stefanski is the right guy for this job. I appreciate that Joel said that. And it didn't feel like, you know, we've all been doing this long enough where sometimes you hear it and you're like, oh, that's just a guy talking about the coach that he has right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem genuine.
Yeah.
That felt genuine to me. You know, when I've talked to Joel throughout Kevin Stefanski's 6 years, he's had the same opinion about Stefanski and thinking he's the right guy for all the reasons he mentioned, even Keel, and the guys respect him and guys play hard for him. So I think it was good for Joel to say that. I don't know how much sway that has with the people who are going to ultimately decide whether Kevin Stefanski returns or not. But I think it was good for people to hear it because, you know, we know when you win 3 games 1 year, now it's 4 the next year, why there's so much negativity toward the coaching staff. And I completely get it. But there is another side to this argument and this decision.
Is a great effort and a tough loss to Buffalo and a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, who might go to the playoffs, that enough to sway anybody, if anybody needed swayed?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I probably mentioned this before, but I find it fascinating that Kevin's been here for 6 years. And is this decision, whether or not to bring him back, going to come down to 2 games or 3 games?
I agree completely.
Or 1 missed kick?
Yep.
Right? Like, that doesn't seem logical to me at all. But on the same token, I'm not going to discount it because Jimmy has made a point of saying wins matter and they need to win more games than they did last year. Well, 4 is more than 3. Is that enough of an improvement, right?
Yeah. Like,
if they beat the Bengals and it's 5, and at the beginning of the season, if you told me they won 5, I'd probably go, yeah, Stefanski comes back. Well, you can point to 4 games this year where it's easy to say, well, they should have won that. So are we really focused on the win total? Do you think he's the right guy? Do you think it just everything needs a fresh start, right? He's been here too long. They haven't won enough. It feels stagnant. Whatever. Like, I get both sides of those arguments, but I do think that the end of the season matters, and the guys playing hard matter, and getting a win over the Steelers matter. Now, I don't know if it changes the decision, or maybe it just gives the Haslams the evidence necessary to say, hey, we didn't want to make a change all along, and now you can point to X, Y, and Z for why they're not making the change. I could see that. I could see the importance of these final games showing up there if that's the direction they've always wanted to go. Now, if they've decided at some point, no, it's time to move in a new direction, then obviously then these last couple games I don't think matter.
Scott, I want to go back to Joel Bitonio for a second. Do you feel like yesterday was his last home game as a Brown?
I would lean toward yes, but I don't think he's made that decision. And last year I was kind of leaning toward yes, and then I went back and forth the more I talked to or was around Joel in the time at the end of the season and after the season. So I don't think he's made it. The decision, it keeps sticking with me. Joe Thomas talked about when Joel asked him for advice after last season, Joe told him, you got to play until the wheels come off. Like, if you can still play, go out and play, because once you're done, you're done. And you're going to regret next year going, you know, I feel like I could be playing. So I think that resonates with Joel. I think he's in a better spot this year than he was last year. I mean, he was dragging to the finish line last year. And he's been relatively healthy this season, hasn't missed a game, obviously. So I think those things matter. What an X factor here, and Joel's brought it up a couple times now in the last few days, is he's in the last year of his contract.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's Andrew Berry or whoever the GM is, are they going to ask him back? Are they going to pay what Joel Bitonio should be paid to come back? And that wasn't a factor last year. It was just, am I retiring or not? So there is another element to this. And, you know, when I talked to Joel at some point early in the year, you know, he said, you know, he didn't want to go play anywhere else, right? It was like trade deadline, and he's like, it never entered his mind to go play somewhere else. But now it could become a reality, and I think that will factor into it. But if the Browns said, hey, we want you back if you're coming back, then, you know, I don't know. I put it at like 55-45, he retires. I get to get a pretty close race.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle-Telegram, BrownsZone.com. Great coverage of the Browns at brownzone.com. Shedeur Sanders had some great throws yesterday. He had some god-awful throws yesterday. He looks like a young guy who I want to see more of. I think you want to see more of him. Andy wants to see more of him. I'm going to go ahead and assume Let's just say Andrew and Kevin are back. To me, that means, okay, they drafted Shedeur. They're developing Shedeur. I get that. Do you think this team would say anything like, he's our starting quarterback next year? Or do you think this team would say, great, we're okay at quarterback because we have Shedeur and Deshaun and Dylan and maybe sign a veteran free agent and let him battle it out? Has Shedeur done enough to even, not even, you know, franchise quarterback, whatever, to be named the starter for next year?
I don't think he has. I could see if the organization lean that way, and it's easier if he is, right? Because then you can
use a lot easier
draft picks on other positions. You can trade the first draft pick if you want and get more picks. Financially, it's easier because you're not making any money and you think you have your starting quarterback. So I get it. I just don't think you can commit to that right now, given what we've seen from Shedeur Sanders and given the potential options in the draft. Now, I do want to see more Shedeur. I've always thought that he has the potential to be a starting quarterback, and nothing I've seen over these six starts has changed my mind. And I think I've seen improvement, and there's good and bad. You know, yesterday after the first quarter, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I think he's making this argument to be the franchise guy. And then things tailed off, and there were some bad decisions, and the offense stopped scoring. So that's natural for a rookie quarterback, but it also means it's not a slam dunk decision. So I could see the Browns going that way, but I would think that they would have to keep all their options open, see how the draft plays out, and then make a decision. Okay, is it going to be Shedeur? Is he going to be our number one guy heading into the offseason or heading into, you know, OTAs or whatever comes after the draft? But I don't think you can just rule out drafting a quarterback this early.
And Deshaun?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be here unless there's an overhaul at the organization at the top, right? And if new GM comes in, then I think anything's on the table, right? I mean, it could be Deshaun Watson's get cut, Myles Garrett gets traded. Like, I think if the new GM, you just never know. But if we assume that Andrew Berry is coming back, then Deshaun Watson will be here. I don't think you can go into the season expecting him to be the starter. If he wows you in the offseason, could he, you know, play himself into that role? I suppose, you know, we just haven't seen him play well enough or be healthy enough to think that he's going to be any better next year. Like, nothing has changed. He hasn't played football in a year and a half. So why would we think that in 2026 he's going to be the Deshaun Watson of 2019 or whenever last good year he had, right? So I think he'll be here, but I think he would be an insurance policy at best.
I have one last thought for you. Is it best for Shedeur if Andrew Berry and Kevin return? Because if not, chances are they're hiring a GM from who was in some other organization who passed on him four or five times.
Yeah, I would think it is, Jeff. I would think that these guys know him. They've seen him develop. They've worked with him for months and months. And the new guy, who knows what his opinion would be. Now, maybe you find somebody out there that always liked Shedeur and thought he could be the guy. Maybe that would be a prerequisite of the Haslam. Say, you have to like Shedeur. I don't like that philosophy when you're hiring new people, but maybe that would be the marching orders. But I do think Shedeur is better off. His future is better with Berry and Stefanski, because I just feel like new people come in, everything gets blown up, or you bring in your own guys. You know how it goes.
Great coverage of yesterday's game, brownzone.com, by this guy, Scott Petrak. Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, fellas.
Brownzone.com. Go read all of Scott's work. What do you think about Scott said there? I agree with him. I asked him because I was wondering what he thought. I think it's best for Shedeur Sanders if he wants to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, if management and the coaching remains the same. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Is it better for Shador, if he wants to be the number one quarterback in Cleveland, to have Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry stay put? And he said, yep. You just heard what he had to say. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. Josina Anderson, who covers the National Football League on a regular basis, up on there on the Twitter, or the X as it may be. And our social media mentions are brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Mm-hmm. Josina says, I'm told the Browns have met with former GMs Chris Greer and Tom Telesco to gather perspectives and for exploratory talks on potentially adding senior voices. That's according to league sources. Huh. And then Josina adds, it's customary to connect with available personnel on the market during carousel season. That it is. It's interesting, though, you have a former longtime general manager of the Miami Dolphins in Chris Greer and a former longtime general manager of the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers in Tom Telesco, who was with the Raiders last year and is a John Carroll grad.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Well, it's interesting that she chooses the words on potentially adding senior voices.
Senior voices.
So that could be possibly anywhere from replacing Paul D. Podesta to becoming an advisor to replacing your current general manager, right?
That's correct.
So
that's correct. To draft help, to whatever mm-hmm. you want it to be. I would think Andrew Berry wouldn't be thrilled with the idea of the Browns chatting with Chris Greer or Tom Telesco. Would you?
I guess it depends on how you look at it. If they establish Greer or Telesco as someone who would fill Di Podesta's role, then why would it? I mean, your situation would stay the same, I would think. But maybe he didn't like his situation with Di Podesta. I mean,
this. Di Podesta was never the general manager of an NFL team.
No, but he was a senior, what'd you call him? Senior voice.
Yes, but would you want a senior voice being a guy who did your job for 10 years? Not that it matters. You're not going to have a choice.
I don't know, does your paycheck change, or does the movement that you make change? I don't know.
But ownership does. Mm. And Mac Robinson sitting behind the glass today, Mac pointing out that there's already a guy there, Bob Quinn, former GM of the Lions, who is a senior personnel and coaching executive with the Browns. So there are you can always find guys. You know, if they decide to make a move, you can find guys.
True.
There might be a guy sitting right there already in Bob Quinn.
Not to mention, too, they also have Chris Polian also in that front office role as well with them. So
true.
Andrew Berry always...
Bill Polian's son.
He always adds in different voices and everything like that, different perspectives when it comes to, you know, former executives. And also had Ryan Grigson in there as well for a while before he went out to Minnesota.
Former Colts guy.
And Polian's also another John Carroll guy.
They all love Cleveland, baby.
Everything about John Carroll, man.
Everybody coming home, Andy.
Ohio State may have the teams on the field, but John
Carroll's could coach him up.
John Carroll's got the guys in the front office. Holy
Between
holy.
John Carroll and Mount, we got it covered around the National Football League.
It's amazing.
And Mount Union. Wayne is in Bedford. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Welcome.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
I am doing great. Good to hear from you guys.
Good to hear from you.
Hey, we called. Wanted to hear how you're doing.
Great. I just want to – I didn't get your take on understand why you guys feel that we don't need offensive line help.
Well, I don't know.
Who said that?
You guys said drafting Caleb Downs?
Not me, pal.
That was the question was – and by the way, even if you drafted Caleb Downs, that doesn't mean – I'm not saying go out and draft other offensive linemen or go out and get right. – I mean, Caleb Downs can play. And again, I'm saying more, it's not about Caleb Downs. It's about you better take the best available player. That's all. That's what I think they should do. And whether, you know.
I disagree.
So do you think Downs would be the best available player?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know where we're going to land. I don't. And I, what I'm I thought saying, the other day isn't what I think today. So it doesn't matter.
Let us say six.
Talk to me on Monday.
If we draft six, don't you think that.
Take an offensive lineman? Probably.
Probably, because Caleb is getting killed. I mean, Chador is getting killed. We need offensive, regardless of that, or Reese. I don't want Reese neither.
I would love to have him, except this team has a pretty good defense, Wayne, and doesn't have a very good offensive line right now.
Right.
Although the offensive line did a nice job yesterday. Credit to them. I thought they did a real solid job.
Let me ask you guys a question. So you guys are pretty new in the world of sports.
We are.
I was born yesterday, as a matter of fact. It was a Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
How far can you go back? What is the oldest player you ever seen play for the Cleveland Browns?
Moses. I saw Moses. He got drafted early. It was before the league was actually established. I got to tell you, the way he would part offensive linemen, he learned that by parting the C. It's crazy. I don't know how that works.
Did you guys ever see Paul Warfare in person?
Yes.
In person?
In person. Not while he was playing, but.
Okay. So did you ever see Bo Scott?
Yes, the former Ohio State running back who wore number 35.
No, for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I know. He wore number 35 for the Cleveland Browns.
Right, yeah. Okay. I just want to date you guys back because, you know, it seems like you guys.
Our resume sucks.
Hey, Wayne, how old are you?
I'm 30. I'm 67.
Yeah, well, welcome to the neighborhood. Yeah.
You guys are fun. Well,
wait, you thought we were born yesterday, and now all of a sudden, now
Wayne,
we're fun. Okay.
Wayne, we've been paid to do this stuff for a long time. Keyword is paid. And before that, we did it for fun. Did we not, Andy?
Yes, we did, Jeff.
I'll just say this. I'm not old enough to have watched Jim Brown play in person and remember it. How's that?
Okay.
I don't remember watching Jim play in person.
Let me ask you this. Do you consider a tight end an offensive lineman in a draft position?
No.
I don't either. Although I do consider them a receiver. I'm just going back and just.
Look, Andy, the Browns are going to be drafting in a position where they're going to be able to get somebody who's really good. And if he happens to play defense, I'll be disappointed. The offense. Now, I say that thinking that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski will be back. If Andrew Berry is not back, God knows what a new GM wants to do to build this team. And if you want to tell me you want to come up with the Bears of the mid-80s and you want that kind of a defense and you're going to go ahead and draft Caleb Downs or Arvell Reese, fine, go ahead. And then figure out how to do the other stuff. But if these guys are back and they don't take an offensive lineman, or a wide receiver. I'm not even going to say quarterback. If they don't take a lineman or a receiver, I'll be stunned. It's like, what the heck are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, look, I think at where they are now, it's going to have to be an offense. I think it's an offensive lineman.
You're
not going to go wrong with an offensive lineman.
Especially
if they're the number one or number two offensive lineman on the board. I'm just going back because I started thinking about it. I mean, outside of a center, who have the Browns really drafted offensive line first round other than a center? So, like, Jeff, since 99, again, too, I'm going to.
Jedrick Wills.
And Joe Thomas. That's it.
There you go. We've gone over this. The Browns have neglected the offensive line under Andrew Berry.
What are you calling Cam Irving?
But what they did was they had a pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
They had a pretty good offensive line. And it kind of got beat up and it kind of got old. Now, and I would say this, it got more beat up than it did old.
Agree.
That's, they just got beat up. Jack Conklin's not old. Jack's just been beat up. I feel terrible for the guy. He's what, 30, 31? Wyatt Teller's not very old.
No.
He's in his younger 30s. Wyatt could play another 5 years in the league, but he got beat up a little bit this year. Joel Bitonio keeps rolling. Joel's 34. Well, they're older offensive linemen in the league right now. If Joel wants to come back. Ethan Posick got beat up. It got beat up. And not just this year. And that's why the assets that they've put into the offensive line haven't been enough. You know, you signed some free agent guys. Great. You took some late round draft choices. Great. It hasn't been enough. I mean, that's real clear.
Yeah.
And it's, our last caller just said, well, Shadur's getting beat up. Yeah, so did Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, so did Joe Flacco.
Whoever's so has every quarterback. Whoever, exactly. They all have.
Exactly. Steve's in South Euclid. Hello, Steve.
Jeff, I want to date you here. Let's see. How old are you? Let's see. All
right. Well, it comes down to, do you want the same old thing or do you want change? That's for me. Okay. You know, Kevin Stefanski said it best himself. It's about winning. And unfortunately, it doesn't reflect his history here with the Browns. Out of over 100 games, he's 43-57. So far this year, he's 27-28 in the last 2 years.
Who are you bringing in? Just say it. Just say fire him. It's easy. You don't have to, like, you don't even have to make the case. Just say you want him fired. Who do you want to bring in? I'm good with that.
You know what? It's not even about that. It's what's best for the Cleveland Browns as an organization.
All right, Steve, let me ask you this.
And if you think he should be fired, just say it. Just say it. He should be fired. And I think this guy, who I want to bring in, is best for the Cleveland Browns.
I believe that Kevin Stefanski can be a good coach, but I don't think it's here in Cleveland. So why did you say that? Because we got a 6-year sample. He had 100 ball games under his belt.
Okay,
so I'm down. You've made your case. Like,
stop.
I'm not,
But let me throw this at you. Guy, Steve, okay, let me ask you. Steve, hold on a second. What's Andrew Berry's record?
Listen.
What's Andrew Berry's record?
Well, only thing about that.
It's the exact same as Kevin Stefanski's.
But the only thing about that is.
And he's had a 6-year run at it.
He has an excellent draft. And here's
one.
For me.
Kevin's been 2-time coach of the year.
This is the guy I want to come here.
Okay, here we go.
I want the guy, Bill Belichick.
Just oh, my God.
Do your job. That's who I want.
I like him.
I'm like Andy.
Jeff?
You better get the paddles.
Jeff? If Bill was here, there's no question who's running the show and who's making the decisions on everything.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Number to join in this fun is 216-474-0092. Michael Markoch will take your phone calls. Mac Robinson is sitting behind the glass. Tyvis Powell joins us coming up at noon. Please, dear God, no Bill Belichick.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We've been talking about so many things that were tweaked by yesterday's game. You know, Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Think about that. Browns beat the Steelers. Good win. Good team win.
Did it feel like a good Pittsburgh win?
Yeah.
It was the best part of the game yesterday.
You beat the Steelers.
Tell me if you're with me on this. That the Steeler fans didn't get to go crazy during the game. Like, you saw the terrible towel start spinning a little bit, but those Steeler fans came into our stadium, ate our food, drank our beer, and left disappointed.
Left their money.
I was happy with that.
You heard the cheers a little bit early on, but you felt the tide turn as the game was going along, and it just kept getting quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter.
I watched a Steeler fan like walk in front of the press box. He had like six beers in his hands, or maybe
big hands.
Well, between the two of them, they had like six beers. And I was like, they dropped a lot of money here in Cleveland.
We thank them for that. Yeah.
Appreciate your business.
I'm like, that's a win.
Isn't that the way to do it?
Enjoy the loss.
Yeah, it was cool. I was down
with that. Steve's in Rocky River. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
All right, I just wanted to talk about Kevin Stefanski real quick. It does frustrate me this season, but what frustrates me more is the talk of him getting fired. He's been given a horrible hand, and I just like to hear a guy's argument why he should be fired, if that's what you believe.
I don't think he should, Steve.
Yeah.
I think the reason he gets fired is because it's the NFL, and when you only win four games, you don't get to come back.
That might be the case.
And then do you think there's somebody that could have done a better job with what he's been dealt with, the whole quarterback situation? I think he had something great. I mean, he did have something great going with Baker Mayfield, and I really don't think he had his hand in that decision to go get Deshaun Watson and be involved in all that mess and that distraction.
Steve, if I had my choice of coaches in the NFL, Kevin wouldn't be at the top of my list. But I'm perfectly content with him continuing in this job. And Andy, what you said is absolutely true. You don't win three, and I've been saying this all season, you don't win three and follow it up with four or five and keep your job very often. It goes back to what we've been talking about all season long. What were the marching orders here?
That's right.
And you played a ton of young guys. You had two veteran quarterbacks who probably could have won some more games for you, and you traded both of them. And then you had two.
He didn't, but.
Well, yeah, we didn't. Kevin didn't.
Kevin didn't.
Andrew Berry did. But, you know, group effort, whatever. And that's why, to me, this comes down to you're either going to keep them both or you're going to move on from both. And I would prefer to go another year, clean the slate with the Deshaun Watson thing. Deshaun's done after next year. I can't imagine them bringing him back after that. Can you imagine how stunning that would be? But I'm okay with bringing him back for a year. If they make a move, I completely understand it because it's the NFL.
I understand it.
And I think Kevin's a good coach. And I think Andrew Berry had a really good last draft. And I think Andrew's made some nice trades. And I think he's made some nice free agent signings. But I think everybody needs to remember this. Kevin's record is the same as Andrew Berry's record. And everybody's saying, look at what Kevin's record is. Well, who gave him that team? And whose record is the same?
And whose idea was it to give up at least, they gave up three first-round picks and more.
Well, that goes back
whose idea was that?
And again, that's the marching order.
You talk about one major decision affecting
all
of these things. Yeah, it's all...
You know, if ownership crammed the Deshaun Watson move down Andrew Berry's throat and gave Kevin here's your quarterback, play him, and then everything that happened, how's that Andrew Berry's fault and how's that Kevin Stefanski's fault? It's not. However,
although if this is true and they decide that the clock is expired on that excuse moving into next year.
Without question.
The clock has expired on the excuse after this season.
Right.
I'll even give you that. So.
Right. And this team has had so many quarterbacks since Deshaun's been here because of Deshaun's injuries and his suspension.
But it's all plug and play. Yeah. It's been you never really sunk your heart in anybody, did you? Other than Joe Flacco, but you knew that was a temporary fix. It wasn't like, oh, this is it.
Well, your guy's been Deshaun. That's the thing. You've not committed to anybody else because you already committed to a guy and he's still here.
Correct.
James is in Cleveland. Hello, James. Welcome to the show.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I can. Thank you.
Good phone line.
Okay, great. I'm driving. Okay, here are my dream moves to set up the Browns to go to the Super Bowl. You got to hear it.
I like the laugh. Go.
Okay. To replace the D Podesta, we're going to hire Nick Saban. Real football guy. Totally qualified. That's from the top.
Hey, and James, let me interject. You know what Nick just did?
He
bought a minority stake of the Nashville Predators, who were owned by
Jimmy's brother,
Bill Haslam.
There we go. See, it's in the family. Keep it in the family.
One last thing about Nick. When he was introduced, he was asked about team building, even though he's not a hockey guy. He said, how do you build a team? Watch my face, Andy. You know what is? He had one word, an answer. Process.
Oh, you're the happiest guy on earth.
Process, James. All right, go ahead.
There we go. So we're going to bring in Nick Saban. And for the young football fans out there, Nick Saban used to be a coach here. We're going to bring in Nick Saban. We're going to get rid of Stefanski. He's a nice guy. He's an offensive coordinator, but he does not have the Cleveland personality to be a head coach. The only time I ever really hear Stefanski talk positive is when he's talking about our opponent. Yeah, they got a great team. He's a great guy. When he talks about us, it's just like mid. He never really gives credit.
I don't know, man. He gave Miles a ton of credit yesterday. Well, Miles credit.
You know what? He'll give Miles and Ward credit time for time. But I think a great head coach in Cleveland has to be able to get on your butt and at the same time give you love. When our players do something bad, they don't look like they fear coming back to the sideline to get yelled at. They just come take a seat. But let me keep moving. So we're going to get rid of Stefanski, and our new coach is going to be picked by Nick Saban and Barry. And I would say Nick should have 70% of the say.
Why are you keeping Barry?
I'm keeping Barry only because he had a good draft. Oh, okay. Like if Stefanski went, let's say, 10-7 this year, you'd have to keep him. Even though you don't like him,
well,
you'd
Barry,
have to keep him.
Barry also has 4 wins this year.
I agree, but Barry had a great draft this year. And whenever you watch a Browns game, all they say is how good our rookies are. I'm a Browns fan. I'm not a Barry fan, but I say give him another year to see what he can really do.
All right, James, thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Happy New Year.
When Kevin had a good roster supplied by John Dorsey, he won 11 games. Then they had a pretty good roster created by Andrew Berry, and they won 11 games. And then everything from a big swing and a miss, let's just say that led to all of it. 3 wins, 4 wins.
I think the last year's draft was awesome. I think he had a really good draft.
Still looking for your quarterback, and you drafted 2 of them.
Okay, but all of them have contributed.
I like the guys that he drafted.
Yeah, he drafted. It was a good draft. It was a really good draft. Now, but the question is,
although you didn't address the offensive line and you didn't address wide receiver.
Okay, well.
And again, you have only so many picks.
I don't know. I feel like we're on one of those.
We've been on this for 14 or 15 years.
What are those little circles called?
We started in September of 2011. We've been going ever since.
Yeah, what are those little circle things that you put on the dinner table and you can spin the food?
Lazy Susans.
Lazy Susans. Yeah, I feel like we're on a Lazy Susan with this conversation. I want to argue with you.
We are.
I want to argue with you, but I'm just kind of done arguing about everything. So I know what I think. I think it was a good draft. I think all the guys that they picked, all 7 guys, started games this year, major contributors on the team, but the end result is only 4 wins. So there is a lot of work to do as of right now.
Larry's in Twinsburg. Larry.
Hey, Larry.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Hi, Andy, Jeff. You're awesome. Love your show so much.
Thank you for listening, Larry.
Yes. So I've been hearing everything you're saying. I agree with Jeff on so much. It's all about perspective. Yesterday I was at the game. I left very sad because I kind of figured that draft pick was going out the window, that second or third pick. I didn't think we needed to win that game. Glad we beat the Steelers. But, you know, it's not like the 1980s where that game really meant, you know, that was true hate. That was true rival and all that. But I think you got to get rid of both. You know, I like Andrew Berry, did a great job on the draft. But look at this season. As each week goes on, we're in week 16, and he hasn't really extensively improved the line or even went out and got us a receiver during the season, within the season setting. So how can you say that he's so successful and yet we made no improvements to get this team over the hump?
Larry,
I view them
as a package deal. So
I do too.
I would think if you're going to keep Kevin, you should keep Andrew. And if you're going to keep Andrew, you should keep Kevin. And if you're going to make a move, then you should make big moves and change everything.
I agree with you, Jeff, totally. I mean, I think you're right on with the stuff you're saying, you know. And it's just, and you know what? I think we could take a year off from this quarterback hunt. I think you got Watson, you got Sanders. At least for now, we got to take a breather from this. We always draft quarterback. Let's get some fresh, like you were saying, receivers. And I think Andy was saying it. You know, receivers, offensive line, and all that.
And look toward maybe...
Let's just work on those other components.
Right, and if Shadur doesn't hit next year, all right, well, then right. The 2027 draft appears to be loaded. So,
because honestly, guys, do you really think we're going to be 8 to 10 wins next year, no matter what happens?
Hard pressed. Let's see what it looks like. Larry, thanks for the phone call.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank appreciate you. It. Larry and Twins. Hey, things can happen in a hurry in the NFL. Ask the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're no kidding.
You know, I mean, that's ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa had a great start. They've lost, I think, it's 7 of their last 8 games. Still with a chance. This league is volatile. We know that. It's a volatile league, and things can change in a hurry. So let's see what this roster looks like. Let's see who's coaching it. Let's see who's picking players before we start throwing a number on for next year. Tyvus Powell works with us on the Browns Radio Network. Tyvus, coming up next at 1 o'clock, Kevin Stefanski's press conference. You'll hear it here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.